Hello and welcome to our program Fortune, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Hannah Kapasi, and during the next half hour I will be reading articles from Fortune magazine here on OWL Radio. Welcome back, everyone. I am going to continue reading from the February-March issue of Fortune for this year. And again, its theme is crypto, so you'll be learning a lot about the metaverse and new tech stocks and some fun trends. All right, so to start off this show, I'm going to read an article titled GameStop's Next Meme, and this is by Declan Hardy. Just a few years ago, video game retailer GameStop seemed primed to go the way of Toys R Us, Radio Shack, and Sears. Mired in debt and waning sales, it risked becoming just another relic from when people shopped in person rather than from the couch. But a gang of everyday investors, college kids, musicians, dentists, had other thoughts. Rather than seeing a floundering retailer, many in the pack chatting on internet message board Reddit about Tendies, Reddit lingo for investment gains, saw GameStop just as needing the right leader to usher in its next act. The rest is Wall Street history. They banded together to send GameStop's shares to the moon, from single digits to $483. The traders had created the meme stock phenomenon of mom-and-pop investors pouring money into zombie-like companies and at least briefly sending their shares soaring. And in doing so, they gave GameStop new life, however inexplicably. Now the company's leaders are racing to ensure the business can thrive over the long term and not just limp along like the convalescing patient it is today. With more than 4,800 stores haunting strip malls globally at last count, GameStop is still very much the same brick-and-mortar game haven that it was a couple decades ago. Video game software lines the walls. Meanwhile, a hodgepodge of Baby Yoda dolls and Call of Duty hoodies fill racks in the middle of the store. But make no mistake, GameStop is in a far better place today than it was before the meme stock frenzy. During the first 9 months of GameStop's current fiscal year, the company's sales rose 27% to $3.8 billion versus a pandemic-battered first three quarters of its 2020 period. What's more, GameStop has paid off virtually all the $200 million in debt, plus debt that it had just before its stock took off, beyond $46.2 million loan tied to the French government's response to COVID-19, and later raised another $1.13 billion by selling shares to fund its turnaround and beef up its cash reserves. This modest progress has helped solidify some of the stock's gains the meme investors had initially created. During 2021, GameStop's shares soared 688%, the fourth best performance by a company on a major U.S. exchange with at least a $500 million market value, according to S&P Global Market Intelligence. Since the new year, the stock has given up some of those gains. Still, GameStop faces daunting challenges to any comeback. Video game gaming has been shifting to digital for years. Gamers no longer need to visit retailers like GameStop or even head online to Amazon to get a physical copy of the latest releases. They can simply download them directly onto their game consoles, which risk GameStop's once invincible new and used game businesses becoming obsolete. Consoles remain big sellers, but with the shift to downloadable games, it's becoming harder to coax gamers into stores. In any case, consoles aren't big money makers for their manufacturers, let alone for a middleman like GameStop. Microsoft already sells the Xbox, which retails for up to $500, at a loss, an executive testified in an unrelated court case in 2021. If it's ever to return to profitability, GameStop has a lot of work ahead. Even as sales rose, losses for the 9 months ending October 30th totaled $233.8 million versus $295.8 million loss over the same period in 2020. Leading GameStop's turnaround effort is Ryan Cohen, who became chairman in the mid-2021 after staging what would turn out to be a successful activist investor campaign. The co-founder of online pet store Chewy, Papa Cohen, as he's known on Reddit, was and is in many ways the shepherd that retail investors were looking for. In the words of Wook Captain Managing Director Rod Alsman, it's Cohen who will remake the company into a purveyor of all things gaming by expanding in verticals like PC gaming and private label products. Improving the experience for online shoppers and planting a stake in digital gaming and collectibles. Alsman is nearly 1% of his personal portfolio invested in GameStop. 1 year after the meme episode hit, though, GameStop executives are mostly quiet about their turnaround plans. Matt Furlong, installed as GameStop CEO last year amid a leadership shakeup, has spent the company's earning calls, they now last just a few minutes, discussing financials. But the Amazon veteran is light on specific plans beyond vague talk of exploring e-commerce and buzzy areas like non-fungible tokens, the digital collectibles that are created with the same technology underpinning cryptocurrency. At the same time, GameStop's executives have kept Wall Street analysts at bay during those calls. None are allowed to ask management questions, in sharp contrast to most other publicly traded companies. "What is the strategy? I don't know," says Michael Pachter, a Wedbush securities analyst who has an underperform rating on GameStop stock and complains that ignoring investors is no way to run a company. A spokesperson for GameStop naturally declined to comment for this article or to make any executive available for interviews. Still, clues of what is to come have started to emerge. Over the summer, for instance, GameStop added new warehouses in Nevada and Pennsylvania, suggesting e-commerce may be a path forward. Then in January, the company said it was said to be creating a marketplace for non-fungible tokens, where video gamers could potentially buy and sell digital goods such as game characters or weapons. NFTs have become a burgeoning area of interest for video game makers recently, with firms such as Ubisoft, Zynga, and Electronic Arts all exploring the space in some manner. The idea is to provide players with a new way to unlock unique gear that can be resold to others. But most gamers have so far opposed the push, seeing it more as a cash grab than anything else. For GameStop, the appeal of an NFT marketplace is understandable nonetheless. OpenSea, a leading NFT marketplace for buying and selling digital art, and collects a 2.5% fee on each sale, was recently valued at $13.3 billion. Relatedly, GameStop is also close to partnering with two cryptocurrency companies to use their technology and invest alongside them in blockchain-based gaming, the Wall Street Journal reported. However, beyond GameStop looking to get in on the booming crypto economy, the calculus behind such deals is unclear. Taken together, GameStop's efforts paint a picture of company pushing into digital just as so-called Web3, which believers see as a decentralized version of the internet controlled by the masses rather than Silicon Valley elites, is taking shape. Or perhaps it's merely a company glomming onto the latest tech trends to create an illusion of hope. But whatever the strategy, GameStop will need to be a different company from the one it has been up till now. "I don't know what they'll do," says Gary Cusin, a founder of one of GameStop's predecessor companies who left in 1995. "But they won't do it with video games. That train has left the station." Wall Street at least seems split. Jefferies analyst Steven Wisnick wrote in a recent research note that she's increasingly enthusiastic about the changes underway at GameStop and that a new range of new value streams will emerge as a result. But she's also concerned about the lack of details from the company and worries that investors may run out of patience. For Wedbush's Pachter, there are plenty of red flags. On the NFT plans alone, he doubts that game publishers will give GameStop the rights to resell NFTs based on their games, or even use GameStop's marketplace to begin with. How long GameStop's leadership has to turn things around remains a critical question. But if anything has been proved over the past year, it's that GameStop has, in Pachter's words, a cult of followers. "By the way, Tesla's a cult too," Pachter adds, name-checking the hot electric car maker. So in fairness to GameStop, maybe there is something there. Thought that was a fun recap of something that was crazy happening about a year ago. It's good to see where GameStop is now and maybe what their plans are for the future. All right, the next article is Why Wall Street Loves the Metaverse, and this is by Bernhard Warner. Until recently, the idea of a 3D immersive internet was more fantasy than fact. Now, big tech is going all in, and Goldman Sachs thinks it's an $8 trillion investment opportunity. Here's why early investors believe the metaverse could be the business's next thing. In the early aughts, David Baszewski stole the show at his kids' middle school science fair. The software designer turned entrepreneur brought him a new invention, a 3D simulator project he'd been working on day and night. Yes, the 59-year-old Baszewski is that dad who leans into his geekiness. The project was based on the program he'd created back in the 1980s, a two-dimensional simulator called Interactive Physics. His former company, Knowledge Revolution, licensed it to school districts around the country, where students could use it to simulate science experiments. But the addictive part was building and modeling digital objects, houses, cars, whatever. What's more, users could take their simulated cars, for example, and crash them into something and inspect the damage. That's when a light bulb went off. Users wanted to go into the worlds they were making, Baszewski said, would later recall. Not only that, users would want their own avatars and the ability to chat with their friends, also represented as avatars. Baszewski and Eric Castle, a software engineer with whom he started working at Knowledge Revolution, set off to build that world. Years later, at the science fair, a crowd of kids formed around the screen of their early prototype. One by one, they used the simulator to build, play, and interact, and build, play, and interact some more. This huddle of excited preteens would serve as a kind of early focus group for what would eventually become Roblox, an immersive virtual world of gamers with a following that has spread far beyond young STEM nerds. Baszewski founded Roblox, based in San Mateo, California, in 2004, and took it public last March. The direct listing was one of 2021's biggest IPOs, valuing Roblox at $41 billion, and trampolining the Canadian-born Minnesota-raised Baszewski onto the billionaires list. The event also captured the frantic attention of Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and crypto moguls for a whole different reason. Roblox was what you might call the first ever metaverse IPO. There may be many more to come. Over the ensuing 10 months, the metaverse buzz has become a roar. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg renamed his world-devouring, obscenely profitable company after the phenomenon and committed billions of dollars to building out the turf there. Microsoft dropped almost $70 billion on acquisition to expand its virtual foothold. Goldman Sachs' Eric Sheridan recently called the metaverse an $8 trillion market opportunity, or about the size of the GDP of Germany and Japan combined. All this hype orbits a concept whose definition is hard to pin down. The idea of a metaverse, coined by a science fiction writer in the pre-web 1990s, refers to an immersive 3D world. Today, metaverse tech builds on the most addictive and alluring aspects of social networking, chatting, mobile gaming, pay-and-play-as-you-go gamification, and Hollywood blockbuster cinematography, imagined worlds that feel almost real. At its best, it's a vibrant way to tell stories, build new communities, and transact. Some see these immersive 3D worlds as the future of gaming. Others believe the true metaverse, which could be years away, will transform how we live and work. Big tech and big investors are asking themselves whether this is a moment like 2007 was for social media and the mobile web, a tectonic shift in tech that they can't afford to miss, even if they struggle to describe specifically what they could be missing. Baszewski doesn't much care for the M word, even if he runs the planet's most popular one. He prefers to call Roblox a human experience platform, but he's not immune to the zeitgeist. I almost feel this is a category that is inexorable, just like the telegraph was inexorable, or the telephone, or now these video calls, Bazooki told Fortune during a recent Zoom call. And as the technology gets better, and there's more bandwidth as devices get better, this is inevitably going to happen. His own company shows why that's an enticing prospect. Nearly 50 million users a month pop in and out of 3D digital experiences built by Roblox users. With the world stuck at home, Roblox use soared. It finished 2020 as the second most popular app on the planet by time spent, according to recently released Goldman Sachs research, beating TikTok, Instagram, and even Zoom. Topping the list, Fortnite, a battle royale game that is also hailed as a metaverse trailblazer. In any one of the 24 million virtual Roblox settings, users might come together to solve a murder mystery with their cyber sleuth friends or plot a bank heist. They might also slip on a pair of virtual Nike sneakers to hop from cloud to cloud in search of gold coin that can be redeemed for virtual Nike product. The social component, talking trash or complimenting a virtual friend's new outfit, makes it fun and fuels its growth. There's a charming element to Roblox, where the core demo is kids ages 9 to 13. More established players have been known to throw virtual get-well-soon parties for young gamers who have fallen ill. They also often buy noobs customized clothing for their Lego-like avatars. After all, accumulating wealth and looking good doing it is the key to thriving in the metaverse. Roblox has never had a profitable year, and its stock seesawed since its IPO, until recently its market cap was running neck and neck with gaming giant Activision Blizzard. Then, on January 18th, Microsoft swooped in with one of the richest cash offers in the history of M&A, $68.7 billion for Activision, maker of the runaway hits World of Warfare and Candy Crush. That same morning, the Uber tech bull Daniel Ives of Wedbush Securities pronounced that the deal signaled Microsoft was entering a metaverse arms race. Microsoft painted it in similar terms. Gaming, explained CEO Satya Nadella, will play a key role in the development of metaverse platforms. The $2 trillion tech giant, which also owns the classic virtual world builder game Minecraft, sees metaverse opportunities eventually raining on various businesses' units from the cloud to its HoloLens mixed reality headsets, which run $3,500 a pop. Roblox is more of a gaming pure play, but it's monetizing the metaverse to a growing degree. In November, revenues topped to $180 million for the month, nearly doubling year over year, as diehard gamers splashed out on Roblox to kit out their avatars. In 2019, the company turned over its marketplace to the community to design features like skins or different appearances for an avatar done to body parts and accessories. Since then, some users have turned their digital design obsession into nine-figure businesses, the company reported at its investor day in November. Bazooki is also proud of a free Lil Nas X concert, which Roblox hosted at the end of 2020. 36.9 million visits, not quite Super Bowl halftime show numbers, but enough to sell the likes of Justin Bieber and DJ David Guetta on the promise of connecting with fans in these virtual venues. This is bigger than play. This gets into learning and working, says Bazooki, whose own avatar goes by the name Builderman. The Wall Street bull case for the metaverse is an expansive one. It's a bright new marketplace for retailers and consumer brands to reach a global customer base. It's a domain where entertainers can sell out performances, COVID or not. The tech creates a way to bring in specialists to remotely troubleshoot glitches in big industrial equipment or to onboard new hires. And it's a place where white-collar information workers can gather to brainstorm and pitch ideas, including, who knows, the next new metaverse stock. The recurring analogy is that we're right back in early 2007, mock turtleneck and all. When Steve Jobs put up the first iPhone, no one had any concept of how disruptive that would be. And so is this that? I don't think we know yet, but we certainly see that it's possible, says Katie Koch, co-head of fundamental equity at Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Brooke Dane, portfolio manager at Goldman's new Future Tech Leaders Equity ETF, tells Fortune in the same conversation, "From an investor standpoint, you always want to be on the right side of secular change and disruption. We think this has the potential to be another one of those moments." Combined, the Goldman duo manage about $125 billion in investor money. In September, Goldman launched the Future Tech ETF. Think of it as a competitor to Cathie Wood's ARK Innovation Fund, to give investors further exposure to promising growth stocks. One of its top holdings is data center hardware specialist Marvell Technology, a stock widely tipped as a hot metaverse play. The stock has limped out of the gates in 2022, down 19%. The ETF, too, is in the deep red for the year, as is Wood's fund, see our story in this issue. With tech stocks in general being clobbered by the prospect of rising rates, early metaverse investors' faith could be sorely tested. 2021 was like a sci-fi paperback you devour in one go. In the past year, we've had Delta, Omicron, Deltacron, ghost flights, quarantine hotels, mRNA jabs, mRNA boosters, booster mandates, a lumber, crude, and coffee supercycle, stonks, stimmies, and chip shortages, not to mention a run on crappy houses in the suburbs and even crappier used cars. Kudos then to Silicon Valley for distracting us from this madness with a new world and a new world. New word and a new world. The metaverse, the idea anyhow, has been floating around tech circles since Mark Zuckerberg was in grade school. In 1992 science fiction novel Snow Crash, Neil Stephenson's conjured up what kind of live-in internet technology that pervades the book's dystopian, anarcho-capitalist world. He calls it the metaverse, and it's essentially corporate-run. The conceit evolved a dark, dismal future. Evoked a dark, dismal future. Still, the idea of creating a more immersive internet experience kindled the imagination of Silicon Valley's biggest thinkers, including the influential venture capitalist Matthew Ball. Ball has challenged big tech in recent years to develop the tools to let humanity build an always-on digital existence, open to all. In its full vision, the metaverse becomes the gateway to the most digital experiences, a key component of all physical ones and the next great labor platform. He wrote in a January 2020 manifesto. A few weeks later, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic, forever scrambling the line between our digital and physical worlds. COVID, it would turn out, was a great accelerator for the metaverse vision. Closures and lockdowns forced most of us to zoom into an existence of digitally distanced work, schooling, and socializing. At the same time, the tech around us continued to get a little bit faster, a little bit better, and cheaper. The AR/VR headsets, the compute power of mobile phones, laptops, and gaming consoles, the chipsets, the nearly ubiquitous cloud, 5G, and fiber to the home. Technology is improving so fast. We no longer have to wait 10 to 20 years for incremental advancements, says Chaim Israel, Bank of America Securities Head of Global Thematic Research. But he predicts 5G isn't going to cut it to make the metaverse truly universal. We need 6G, eventually. While we're at it, AR/VR mixed reality headsets still get lousy reviews for messing with users' vision and the occasional electric shock. A few one-star reviews aren't holding back big tech, though. Last October, at Facebook's annual developer conference for all things virtual reality, Zuckerberg announced a name change to the social media giant, to Meta Platforms. It wasn't just a rebrand, Zuckerberg declared, but the next chapter for the internet. He promised a world of floating holograms teleporting into virtual gatherings. Meta Zuck's own performance was, meh, a bit stiff, but the avatar coworkers he introduced looked like they could really liven up weekly all hands. More important, investors were impressed, not least because the idea of Web3, a kind of successor to the mobile internet, was finally coming into focus. Soon to be named Meta, shares jumped as much as 10% in the weeks that followed, though they've since fallen back. Undeterred fund managers continue to launch metaverse-themed ETFs to meet investor demand. Business media, meanwhile, pronounced the metaverse as winning Christmas as consumers splurged on virtual and augmented reality gear. The Oculus app, needed to interface with Meta's Oculus VR headsets, topped the download charts on Christmas morning. The metaverse taking off could become one of the most capital-intensive pivots ever seen in big tech. According to B of A Securities analysts Justin Post and Joanna Zhao, Facebook's metaverse investment could easily reach $50 billion plus before breaking even. Billions in capital expenditures will lift other corners of the tech sphere as contenders of all stripes plow huge sums into new data centers equipped with AI-blazing chipsets. Plus, it would trigger a new explosion in VR apps and libraries of new VR content. All eyes are on Meta's Oculus VR business, a unit it bought in 2014 for $2 billion. Meta is determined to vanquish Apple and Google in the VR app store space. But growth beyond the gamer demo is still elusive, according to eMarketer. The big dollar signs so far come from gaming. As L'Atelier BNP Paribas, the French banking giant's forecasting and research firm, points out, revenue from virtual multiplayer games and virtual simulation platforms is expected to reach $129 billion in 2021, far outpacing the pre-COVID global box office. The lion's share of that revenue comes from in-game microtransactions. Your avatar needs the latest gear. E-commerce, advertising, and non-fungible digital assets are also gaining ground. Many metaverse platforms are built around NFTs and cryptocurrency. With the boom in those assets, a wheeler dealer class has emerged, a far cry from those kids throwing get-well parties for their Roblox buddies. There's a lot of ambiguous and questionable transactions that happen, trades that happen where you have to query the validity of some of the values, observes John Egan, a former fintech investor who's now CEO of L'Atelier. Exhibit A, the gaudy land grabs and upstart metaverse worlds like Sandbox and Decentraland. Speculators there and elsewhere have rushed to buy Virgin plots, paying for them with extremely volatile in-house cryptocurrencies, the values of which plunge even further than Bitcoin and Ether in the first weeks of 2022. Some players contend it's a property developer's dream, an opportunity to pick up the virtual equivalents of Monopoly's Boardwalk and Park Place on the cheap. Others question whether there's any intrinsic value to the asset, like Dogecoin, but with a deed. 2021 was a watershed year for the metaverse. In the private capital markets, more than $10 billion was raised across 612 deals, Goldman reports, to feed a new crop of unicorn hopefuls. Even with all that money flowing around, the big what exactly is the metaverse question still hangs over the sector, generating all manner of confusion and disagreement. Who will regulate it? Will users' data be protected? Will today's tech live up to the hype? And then, there's the thorniest of questions. Will this virtual land rush be nothing more than a series of walled garden metaverses dominated by a few big tech gatekeepers? Today's corporate-controlled internet on steroids? Snow crash alarmists shudder at the thought. Or will there be room for open metaverses? There are hundreds of them in the development, built on the blockchain and fully interoperable so that people's avatars can hop from world to world. Open source innovators want what's behind the curtain. While these debates simmer, a parade of consumer brands from Disney to Nike to Gucci to the National Football League and Chipotle have set up a presence on Roblox in the past year. It's unclear if the ventures will ever have an impact on the brand's bottom line, but their pivots generated more metaverse buzz. Chipotle leveraged the move for marketing purposes, giving Roblox users a coupon to claim a free burrito for Halloween. Gucci developed a pop-up shop, Gucci Garden, where it sold about 500 Robux, $5, limited edition virtual versions of Queen Bee Dionysus handbag. This being 2021, a bidding war broke out, and at least one of the pixelated bags sold for $4,115. The real-life one sells for $3,400. Nike hasn't sold anything yet on Roblox, but in December it acquired RTFKT, pronounced Artifact, a collective of digital designers best known for metaverse-ready sneakers and collectibles for an undisclosed sum. Wall Street branded the move a winner. Investment banking giant Guggenheim Securities named Nike its best idea of 2022, saying it was intrigued by its metaverse strategy. Even if the athletic wear giant has revealed precious little about the strategy to investors. Bazooki, for one, thinks that these are early days. Just as he sees Roblox usage going beyond teens and preteens, he predicts more companies catching the metaverse wave. We saw in the last year a lot of discussion. What's the future of the metaverse? What's it going to look like? How are people going to work, play, learn, connect together on top of it? Bazooki says, adding he's thrilled to see it enter the public dialogue in a big way. A lot of investors share the enthusiasm, but unlike Bazooki, they'll need a lot more growth from this virtual plane of existence before it makes them rich. Well, I hope that was an informative article about the metaverse. I feel like I learned a lot about investors and how it plays with Wall Street. So you've been listening to Fortune on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Hanukkah Passi saying goodbye from Owl Radio.